Blog Talk Radio.
I'm going to a city that's set on a hill. Its ruler and maker is the Lord God above. Oh, I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. Oh, I'm going to a city.
Hello, everybody. God bless you today. This is Susan Puzio. And I want to welcome you to the Prophetic News radio broadcast on Blog Talk Radio. And we have a special program for you today. We're going to talk about Paula White and her First Fruits scam. Every year, and I don't know for how long, many years, I guess, that Paula's been using this scam, because it's been quite successful for her. She asks people every year to give her, or she says, really, you're giving it to God, but of course God never sees the money. But she says that you have to give this first fruits offering, and she said that it should be even up to 1 month of your salary. 1 month's salary she wants you to give her. Wow. What a deal she's got going. Anyway, I guess it's been very lucrative for Miss Paula. Very, very lucrative. But of course, it's stretching the truth. And I mean really stretching the truth of what the Bible has to say. Let's read a couple of scriptures here. Now let's look at a couple of scriptures about lying. What does the Bible say about lying? The Bible says that lying lips are an abomination to the Lord, but they that deal truly are his delight. It also says, Psalm 101:7, he that worketh deceit shall not dwell within my house. He that telleth lies shall not tarry in my sight. Luke 8:17, for nothing is secret that shall not be made manifest, neither anything hid that shall not be made known and come abroad. Now, those are some words of wisdom there for Paula, because Paula makes up these stories. She makes this all these stories up about first fruits and how God has to have his money at the beginning of the year. Otherwise, whoa, you better look out. You just don't know what's going to happen. So we're going to examine, and we do this once a year, sometimes twice a year, we examine this first fruits teaching of hers, and we'll see how it goes there with Paula and her false teachings. We're going to take it clip by clip. She has numerous hours, I guess, of teachings on this. She even wrote a book about it. I don't know where she found all the content for her book, because certainly the Bible does. I don't see any place where God says that you have to give him a month's salary. I don't know where she got that one from, or you have to give a week, a month, a day. You have to honor God with the first of your income. Otherwise, look out. What's going to happen? What's going to happen? But of course, we also know that the Bible says that you better not be preaching another gospel you better not be preaching another Jesus. And that's what's happened here, because this is not the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're going to find out why it's not. So I'm going to bring on my guest. And we're going to see how we could tear down this false doctrine. Hi, Ron. I can't hear Ron. Anyway, Ron, I can't hear you. I don't know why, but I can't. Anyway, Ron, I can't hear you, so let me see what's going on here. Let me check with the chat room here and see if we have sound. Just bear with me a moment. I'm not sure if they can hear me. Can you all hear me? Let me know if you can hear the sound, because I couldn't hear Ron, and I don't know why. Anyway, Ron, I can't hear you. So, I don't know. You might have to try another way to call in or something, because I can't hear Ron. And he's my guest. Okay. He's working on it. Okay. So we'll just wait, because we can't hear our guest, and we'll just wait for him to get a better connection. But the Bible tells us also that we're supposed to be diligent, and we're supposed to search the scriptures, and we're not supposed to believe everything we hear. I notice that when I talk to people, I can kind of gauge where they're at by what comes out of their mouth, especially when they're talking about the news, because you can tell that most people just turn on the television and they believe everything they hear, everything that they tell them they believe, but they don't investigate the facts for themselves, and they don't try to find out for themselves what the truth is. And it's the same thing when people go to church. They go to church and they just believe everything that the pastor tells them. And it's not necessarily that he's telling you the truth, sad to say, but that does happen. And so we're supposed to check everything out with the Word of God and make sure that we're good Bereans and that everything we're being told lines up to the Word of God. So let's see if this we can hear Ron now. Hi, Ron.
Hello, Susan. How are you?
Good. Okay, that's good. I can hear you now. All right. So we're going to talk about first fruits. Now, Ron, before we get started here, I wanted to ask you, because I think it's odd, and I want to know if you think it's odd that Jesus never talked about this.
Well, you know, it's not really odd that Jesus never talked about it. What it is it's odd that people who call themselves ministers of God talk about it.
Yeah, I was like, you know, Paula says, she says, oh, it's very important to God. And if it's important to God, then it has to be important to you. And it's required. This is something that's required, and it's a devoted thing. And I thought, wow, I guess, I don't know, Jesus must have missed it.
Yeah. Certainly must have, or something. I don't know, either that or like I say, the ministers that call themselves called of God today are missing it. And more than likely, it's the former, it's the latter rather than the former.
Yeah. Oh, dear. Because I was searching the scriptures, and I was waiting for Jesus to say something, because Paula White says that it's important to God. And of course, Jesus being God, and he walked the earth, and he had many sermons that he preached, and he had volumes of information that they said that they couldn't even contain all the information, all the things that Jesus did when he had his public ministry. So I said, well, how come God didn't say anything about it in the New Testament when he was walking the earth?
Exactly. Well, you know, the thing is in the Old Testament, God told exactly what the first fruits were. And he told us exactly who it was that was required to give first fruits and where those first fruits were required to be given. And obviously, either pastors today are not familiar with that verse, or they're just totally ignoring it and deceiving the people.
Yeah, well, I would say it's probably deceiving the people, because it's very lucrative. It's very lucrative, this teaching, and it brings in big bucks. Well, I imagine that you had, even if you had a handful of people, say you had five people that gave you a month's salary, you'd be making out pretty good over there.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, and that's the thing. As long as they have money coming in, as long as that cash flow is coming into their company, I'm not even sure I want to call it a church, but as long as their cash flow is coming in, they're going to continue with that deceit.
Yeah, they're going to continue with it because it works. And they know that it works. And they know most people aren't going to open up their Bible and find out for themselves what the Word of God says. So they can count on that. And they can count on the fact that really most people aren't going to go up to Paula and question her and say, Paula, could you please tell me why Jesus never asked for first fruits? Could you please tell me why, if it's so important to God, that Jesus never took up a first fruits offering?
Exactly. You know, I see people, church members today, just as the Ethiopian there in Acts chapter 8, you know, Philip ran up beside his chariot, and the Bible tells us that the Ethiopian was, and ask him if he understood, and he told Philip, you know,
you're breaking up.
This is exactly how the church is today. Congregations are not being in their studies of the Word of God. They're just like the Ethiopian. They need somebody to explain it to them. The only problem is they're going to the wrong person for the explanation.
Yeah, that's true. There's many, and it's sad to say that there's so many so-called ministers out there that they're just in the ministry to earn a living, and they don't even really search the scriptures for themselves to find out what they're teaching is true. So some of them just kind of rehash sermons that they heard, and then they feed it to the people, and the people go home after Sunday morning, and they feel like, well, I've been fed, so I've been fed for the week, and I'm set. But they don't really take the time to research a scripture. But even you can take time, even if it's one scripture. Say you're just, somebody tells you, oh, you have to give a first fruits offering. So you take the time, and you can do a little bit every day just to do your own research to find out that there's no requirement for a first fruits offering. And if it wasn't important for Jesus Christ himself to take up these offerings and then to make sure that he told everyone there, now, wait a minute now, let me tell you here that this is very sacred to God, and this is very holy. And if you don't give this first fruits offering, who knows what's going to happen to you for the rest of the year. Let's hear what Paula has to say about this here.
To take care of in life, fulfilling purpose, living out the will of God and the plan of God. Because when you touch something that belongs to God, whether it is purposely out of rebellion or whether it's through ignorance, the Bible says in Isaiah that honorable men perish. They live in famine because of lack of knowledge. and that there is drought in the land because of what people don't know. And so when we touch things that belong to God, there's a consequence that comes back from that, because when something is consecrated as belonging to God, according to His Word, when you touch it or you use it for your personal use, your personal gain in any way, then you do the exact opposite of consecrating, which is desecrate. I want you to get a visual of it. We know that communion is holy. We know when we take communion, we're taking of the body, we're taking of the blood. We don't do this lightly. But when you deal with first things, they're sacred. They belong to God. And so in the same sense that you wouldn't desecrate some things because they're holy, they're sacred, then you have to apply that same principle and have that understanding of what belongs to God. Over the next few programs, I'm going to teach you through the Word of God why first things belong to God and what the promises are for you, because you have needs. But the needs don't just manifest in your life if there's not the order of following God's principle pattern. The Bible says in Psalm chapter 11, verse 3, if the foundations be destroyed, what shall the righteous do? Now, a foundation is a fundamental. It's an essential. It's something that everything else is built upon. So you're going to find out that the principle of first fruits and first fruits, first things being first, is an essential. It's a foundation. It's a fundamental. It's putting God first in all things. God says...
She really lays it on thick, doesn't she?
She sure does. You know, she mentioned the fact that the Bible says if the foundations is destroyed, what shall the righteous do? And then she turns around and she's going to destroy the foundation herself.
Yeah, especially since it says in the New Testament that Jesus was the first fruit.
Right, exactly. The Bible clearly says Christ our first fruits. And, Christ has become our first fruits.
Yes. So how can we beat that?
Exactly. I mean, better than Christ that God's gonna accept.
Yeah, exactly.
But, she destroys the foundation. The foundation was that the children of Israel were required to give these first fruit offerings. And it was for a specific place. It was when they went into the land of Israel, they were to give the land of Canaan at that time. It's Israel now. But once they come into the land, they were to give their first fruits. Deuteronomy chapter 26. Verse 1 says, and it shall be when thou art come unto the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee for an inheritance, and possessest it, and dwellest therein, that thou shalt take of the first of all the fruit of the earth which thou shalt bring of thy land, that the Lord thy God giveth thee, and shall put it in a basket, and shall go unto the place which the Lord thy God shall choose to place his thing there. That's the first fruit offering. It goes into a basket. You can put money into a basket, true, but the first fruit was the fruit of the ground. It was the land of Israel. It was the United States, Germany, South Africa, Italy, Russia, or any other place.
You're breaking up.
Yeah, it wasn't any place in the world but the land of Canaan. God said, when thou comest into the land which I give you, then you'll bring the first fruits. Now, what's interesting there, according to 2 Chronicles 6 and verse 6, the Bible says that... God had not chosen a place until David was king, and then God chose the city of Jerusalem to place his name there. Jerusalem was the place where God wanted his first fruits taken.
Yeah, and it was crops.
Exactly.
So where does she get the thing that it's a foundation and that it's a devoted thing?
She pulled that out of the magician's rabbit hat, I guess. I have no idea where she gets it. I think probably because, you know, like we said at the beginning of the show, it's lucrative for them. And they found that there are people that don't read their Bible, people that aren't like the men of Berea who were seen to be more noble than the men of Thessalonica. They searched the scriptures to see if it was so. And now we don't have people that are doing that. They're too lazy in the word. And so, therefore, people like Paula White take advantage of them and extort that money.
Yeah, she's very good at it. And we'll even hear some comments that she makes about how sincere she is. But she's so sincerely wrong. And she also claims that she spent many hours studying for many years on this principle, and how she's used this principle throughout her life, and how it's worked for her. Yeah, well, it drove her into bankruptcy. It drove the two churches that they owned, one in Tampa, one in Lakeland, when she was married to Randy, after they got a divorce, where the two churches wound up in bankruptcy, and one was foreclosed on. They owed something like $20 million or $30 million to the Christian Credit Union, Evangelical Credit Union, which they didn't pay back because Randy filed for bankruptcy with the Without Walls there in Tampa. So they just wound up paying a small amount back on what they borrowed to the bankruptcy court after they sold the assets. Even the church in Tampa was in foreclosure and was going to be auctioned off, and then it was sold. But of course, they didn't profit from it. So if first fruits has been a principle of your life there, Paula, for all these years, then how did you wind up bankrupting two ministries and being over $30 million or $40 million in debt?
Exactly.
If this principle has worked for you, and then you can tell other people, look, and she goes on to tell people that they can really, that, wow, if they don't do this first fruits thing, then they're cursed. They're basically, their year is over. They're not going to get any blessings because they have to obey this principle that Jesus never talked about. So anyway, let's listen to more of this. Go ahead.
Yeah, well, you know, it's easy to prove her wrong just looking at the words of Jesus in Matthew chapter 17, verses 24 through 27. There we read the account of the tax collectors in the city of Capernaum addressing the fact that Jesus had not yet paid tithes yet. He had not paid the taxes yet, the tribute. The Bible tells us that Jesus told the apostles to go down to the sea to cast a hook into the sea and draw out a fish, and they would find a coin in the fish's mouth. Now, if the first part of all money was to go to the house of God before anything else, then Jesus disobeyed his father and became a rebellious son in this particular text. It shows Jesus as a rebellious son, because Jesus, when they pulled the fish out and got the coin out of its mouth, Jesus said, take that and give it to the tax collectors.
Yeah.
Okay, well, for both me and you, he said. So obviously, if first fruits was money, Jesus became a rebellious son right there, and he taught the apostles to be rebellious too. So it shoots down Paula's argument right there.
Yeah, that's a good one. Yeah, that's a very good one. I never thought of it that way. It's true. Then even what Jesus didn't even say, wait a minute now, before you take that money down over there to the tax collector, don't forget my tenth. He didn't even say that.
He didn't say give Dad my first fruit, our first fruits. He didn't say give Dad the tithes.
No. Didn't say any of that. Paula, Well, I don't know what Bible you're reading over there. It must be the Paula White version, because it's certainly not Thus Saith the Lord. Let's listen to him. Paula's going to ask for a month's salary here.
Financial miracles, opportunity, favor, and supernatural blessings for your entire year. Proverbs 3:9. Honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruits of all your increase, so your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow. Paula is challenging you to put first things first and honor God with a significant first fruits offering today. Many give one day's wages, others 1 week, still others a portion of their first month, but all give their very best. Call, write, or go online now. And with your best first fruits offering today, we will rush to you Paula's new two-message series on both CD and DVD, plus digital download titled He's Number One, God's Law of First Fruits. When you sow a sacrificial first fruits offering of $75 or more, we will send you the new series along with Paula's groundbreaking book, First Things First, and her powerful First Things First devotional. At the start of 2019, make him number one. It's the principle of first fruits. Call, write, or go online right now. Your first fruit seed is a declaration that 2019 will be the year of recovery and supernatural advancement for you.
I want you to get up and call the toll-free number right now. Write the P.O. box or go to the website. But whatever you do, do not miss this moment. Your time to honor God and to be in obedience. For if you obey, you will eat the good of the land and to present to God a first fruits offering. Now, first fruits is the whole of it. So whether that is a week's salary, many will sow a month's salary, some will give a day's wage, but it's the whole of it. It's presenting. So if I get paid $500 for the week, I'm bringing God my all, because the first belongs to the Lord. We've established that through His Word. Remember that Matthew 6:33 says, "Seek ye first the kingdom, God's way of doing things, and all these things will be added unto you." And God says, "First things belong to me." It's the irrevocable giving over to God of what already belongs to Him. It's bringing back to Him and honoring Him, saying, "I trust you, God." And what that does is it redeems all the rest. When you bring God that first fruit, see, everything comes into alignment. Remember Romans chapter 11, verse 16, that if the first fruits be holy, the lump is also holy. And if the root be holy, so are all the branches. So whatever you use the first for governs what happens to all the rest. I want you to put God first in the beginning of this year. I believe you're going to walk in a double portion. I believe that you're going to see the womb of God's love. That was the mantle that fell upon Him, released in your life. And as you get up and you honor God with this first fruit, I want you to have expectation and believe God that this year is going to be a year of restoration, a year of double portion, a year of increase. A year that God just adds to your life like never before because of your obedience to His Word, your obedience to His principle. So call that toll-free number. And when you sow your first fruits offering, I will send you my brand new teaching on first fruits, putting God first, the principle of first things first. It'll be CD, DVD, 4 teachings, plus a digital download. Then for your ministry gift of $75, not only will you get the CD, the DVD, the digital download, but you're also going to get my book, which I'm telling you is going to absolutely be a blessing, along with the devotional, so that you can do it as a Bible study, a home study. You can just digest the Word, but make sure right now.
What did you make of all that, Ron?
Well, she reminds me of a snake oil salesman. You know, she's trying to make her product look good, her book. You know, your book, my CDs, these will tell you exactly what God wants, blah, blah, blah. You know, well, you know, first off, it's wrong to sell the Word of God, but, you know, that's another topic altogether. But this thing with the first fruits, she talked about sowing your first fruits into the ministry. Well, you know, if you plant tomatoes, what's going to grow? Tomatoes. If you plant potatoes, potatoes are going to grow. But, you know, for some reason or another, she says, when you plant your first fruit, your money, my kingdom. She didn't say my kingdom, but basically that's what she meant. When you sow money into her kingdom, you're going to get a book, or you're going to get a sermon series or something. Money is not being the the end result, actually, for not for the person that's sowing. And that proves right there that money's not supposed to be sowed in the first place.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, well, you have to remember that God needs that money. God needs that money. And
right. See, we can always go all the way back to the book of Genesis in the first chapter, and we see in the first chapter that kind begets kind.
Yeah.
Money, sowing money is not supposed to produce a sermon or beget a sermon for you. Sowing money, if money was to be sowed, then money should bring money. So she needs to fork over some money in replacement for the money that she's taken.
Yeah, well, yeah, she's not going to do that. She's not going to do that. She's a very, very deceitful person. And the Bible warns us to be careful of people who use the word of God deceitfully. And
exactly.
Paula White is definitely one of them. So, if someone asked me, someone was showing me something the other day about King Cyrus, and they wanted to know about some people saying that Donald Trump represented King Cyrus. Well, I said, there's no way, because first of all, when you have a Jezebel as your spiritual advisor, it's more like Ahab. It's not like King Cyrus. So you have to dump the spiritual advisor because she's a Jezebel. She definitely shouldn't be advising President of the United States. But let's hear about it. Now, Paula, she wants you to think, she always likes to change her voice inflection, and sometimes she's the sweet Paula, and then sometimes she's the yelling Paula. So let's hear this, how Paula describes herself.
Will come to your life, will increase. All these things will be put in addition to your basic needs. So watch what the Message version says, verse 31 through 34. What I'm trying to do here is get you to relax. The word of God to you right now is chill out. Do not be so preoccupied with getting so you can respond to God's giving. People who don't know God and the way he works fuss over these things. But you know both God and how he works. So steep your life in God reality, God initiative, God provisions. Don't worry about missing out. You'll find that your everyday human concerns will be met. So God says, steep your life in God initiative, God reality, and your everyday human needs will be met. Watch what he says in verse 34. Give your entire attention to what God is doing right now, and don't get worked up about what may or may not happen tomorrow. Why? Because first fruits also has in the things come up when the time comes. We're going to come back right after this break, but I'm going to teach you on the principles of first fruits because it provides the foundation and the structure of providing God's blessings, his promises, everything you have need of, everything you have desire of. Now, here's my challenge when I teach this, because I really teach it out of a pure heart of saying the greatest part of doing this is it proves your faith and it honors God. I believe anything we do in the Word of God that is just self-serving is already, the motive's wrong. And God always checks the attitude of the heart. So I want you to check the attitude of your heart. You're not just doing something to get something, because this is a law of God. So it brings back certain things into your life. God's Word will work for you. But I want you to check your motive. Am I doing this because I love you, God? Am I doing this because I trust you, God? Am I doing this because I honor you, God? Even when I don't feel it, can't see it, don't understand it, I put you first. And that's who I want to talk to today, because there's somebody God has assigned me to. When you put God first and lay the right foundation, all these things will be added to you. Don't worry about your future. God has it. I'll be right back.
Yeah, don't worry about your future. Just remember to pay off God at the beginning of the year, because if you don't pay him off, you're not going to have a good foundation. You're going to be disobedient. And never mind those scriptures that Jesus said, ask and you shall receive. No, forget those scriptures. What?
Exactly. And, you know, James, we can even just throw James out. You know, James chapter 4 and verse 2, James said, ye have not because ye ask not. He didn't say ye have not because you do not give first fruits.
Yeah, that's what he said. Yeah. I don't know, Paul. What Bible are you reading over there? The Paula White translation. It's called the Huckster Bible. It's a new Bible version called the Huckster Bible. And then she says, she's such a manipulator and such a scripture twister that out of one side of her mouth, she's telling you, you better do this because you have to give this money or else. And then she's saying, but do it with the right motive. What is the motive of your heart? It's a motive. Yeah, and who's the author of confusion? So she gets the people all confused. They don't know what they're doing. They just know that they have to go run and get their checkbook before the program's over. They better call that toll-free number or else, because she gets them so confused. She said she's a good at this kind of hypnotism where she snaps her fingers. She snaps her fingers a lot during these so-called sermons of hers, and then she makes these pleas that you have to don't do it, do it for your heart, don't do it because you want something back. But then again, she's telling you if you don't do it, you're not going to get anything back.
Exactly. Well, you know, and you notice what she was doing there. I mean, she said verses 34 through 36 say this. She didn't say where those verses were, and she didn't even say say anything that the Bible actually says. You
yeah,
know, so it must be verses of her own Bible. The I like to say it's the RWT, the RWT, Ravening Wolves translation.
Yeah, yeah. Well, they definitely have their own translation of the Bible. But for any of us, for anybody that's listening today, and you've never tuned into my program, and you're not familiar with how we teach the Word of God here, you simply look. If you need something from God, you don't have to pay Him off. You don't have. There's no exchange of money. There's nothing. There's no exchange of money needed, at all. You never exchange money with your parents. When you ask your parents for something, did they ever ask you for $5? No. It's just stupid to think that God, that you have to pay God off with some kind of a financial offering to get Him to do anything for you. It just doesn't operate that way. Giving is about giving to other people, to bless other people and to make them happy and to help meet their needs when you see somebody else. That's the royal law of love, is to love your neighbor as yourself, not just you're giving something to get something, which is what this whole teaching is about. These seed sowing teachings and the tithing teachings and these first fruits teachings. And the only person that gets rich is the person that's at the top of the totem pole, which is, it's a multi-level marketing scheme, basically. So the person at the top is the one that's getting rich, but yet they're going to tell you how you can get rich and how you can get all your needs met. But meanwhile, you're not collecting 10% from people. You're not collecting first fruits offerings and atonement offerings and all the rest like these scam artists are. But let's listen to another clip here. It's about 5 minutes. Paul is going to talk about the devoted thing.
Excited for you. Remember, seek first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added, increased, and multiplied to the basis. What shall the righteous do if they don't have a basis? The basis is seeking first. So we love that all these things shall be added. But God has what is called a divine pattern. What's a divine pattern? It's an accurate order and arrangement of things. It's how God sets things in order. First fruits literally means the first fruits of the crop. Means hasty fruit, to give the birthright, the best or the choice part. The first in place, the first in time, the first in order, the first in position, the first in rank. It literally means captain, forefront, chief, are to come from the forefront. Now that's important because I hope to get to that. It's a fundamental. What is fundamental? This is vitally important. It means a basic, essential, serving as the basis supporting anything. It determines the essential structure or the function. It also means a promise to come. And we'll get into that, a bakor, which it means it's the same as the firstborn. So God declares that all first belong to him. And he does that in order to establish the redeeming covenant over everything that comes after. So I'm going to give you a principle here that I want you to understand. The first fruit sets the pattern and establishes the destiny of what is left. In other words, the first fruit is the one thing that affects or governs what comes after it. So people say, well, I know the tithe is holy and the tithe belongs to the Lord. Isn't the first fruit and the tithe the same thing? No, they're both mentioned 32 times in the Bible, depending on which translation you go to. But the first fruit is the whole of something, and I'll prove that through Scripture. The tithe is the first, and it's very important that it is the first. It's the first tenth of a gross income. You go, why does it have to be first? Because it redeems the curse off of the rest. Now, I'm not teaching on tithe today. I'm teaching you on first fruit. But Leviticus chapter 27, and most people start here, but I'm ending here. Leviticus 27 says, no one, however, may dedicate the firstborn of an animal, since the firstborn already belongs to the Lord. Whether ox or sheep is the Lord, it's of the if it is of the unclean animals, he may buy it back at its set value, adding a fifth to the value. If he does not redeem it, it is to be sold at its set value. But nothing that a man owns and devotes to the Lord, stay right there, devoted things and first things have the exact same meaning. It is the irrevocable giving over to God. It is what belongs to God. So what God is saying is this. There are the things that belong to God and to God alone. To devote something means to commit. It means to make a solemn act. It means to give back. So when we talk about living as a devout Christian, a devoted thing is the highest expression of dedication to God. So first fruits, you say, I love God with all of my heart, my soul, my mind. Seek first the kingdom of God. Because first fruits is to live a devoted life of giving over to God the highest expression. And boy, if I could reach through that camera and sit right there on your sofa with you or come in and hold your hand and say, I know how it is to take that first step that's scary to say, do I actually write this check? Do I actually set my alarm an hour earlier? Do I actually do this? I'm telling you, I'm begging of you, I'm pleading with you, I'm beseeching you right now, do not start another year and do the same thing you did in years past. Do something different this year because God has so much he wants to release to you, so much promise he has for you, for your children, because first fruits does not just bring blessing to you, it brings generational blessing, and I'll teach you that. And right now, as you pick up that phone, or you go to your website, or you write the P.O. box for your ministry gift and bringing your first fruits to the Lord, I don't even like to call it a ministry gift. I don't even like that we have to do for an offer of, because this is so holy. And it belongs to the Lord. And many of us will sacrifice and step out on faith and give God the whole of, because that's what first fruits is. It's a devotion. It's the highest order of expression, the whole of one day. Some give 1 week. Some.
What did you make of that, Ron?
Well, you know, I went to the book of Leviticus and was looking. Order and everything of the first fruits. And you know what's interesting? Now here, this would prove to people if they would just open their Bible and study those verses in Leviticus 27. Any verses that's redemption and read the surrounding verses as well so you get the context. But according to this, the first fruits could be redeemed. Now the word redeemed means to buy back. The redeem means to buy back. So in other words, in order to buy back, in order to buy back the first fruits, you have to give it first. Okay, you can't buy back something you've never given. Now let's say that it is money, just for the sake of an argument. Let's say Paul is right that it's the first, the whole thing. Okay, my first paycheck of the year was $240. Okay, and I took that $240 and gave it back, gave it to God. And then I decide, hey, I want to redeem that $240. Well, what do I redeem it with? I don't have any money. So that proves right there that money is not the increase that Paul is trying to make it. The increase, when God spoke of increase, he was speaking of the increase of the field. He was in increase of the stalls, increase of the family. Yeah, first fruits or firstlings, the first male son that was born into a family was actually dedicated to God as a first fruit offering to God. And that first son had to been bought back. They were required to give a sum of money according to the shekel of the sanctuary to purchase that son back, even though they had given him to God. So the thing of of money, the thing of money being required to as a first fruit offering cannot be found anywhere in the Word of God, as I proved earlier with Luke chapter 12 verse 33, and you can use Matthew chapter 17 verses 24 through 27 I used, but Luke 12:33 also proves it, because Jesus said to sell all you have and give alms to the poor. He didn't say give 10% to the house of God. He didn't say take part of it to the house of God or take it to the house of God. So obviously money was never first fruits.
Yes, obviously. But she wants to come to your house and put her arm around you, and she's beseeching you, Dola, please do this or else. Whoa. What a con artist, honest. I wish you'd come over. You're welcome to come over to my house. I'd sit down and have a talk with you. You can come on over here, but I don't know. She won't debate us. She won't debate people that she'd never hold up if she debated one of us on this first fruits.
I challenge her to an open debate anytime. Yeah.
Yeah. But of course, she won't do it. Paula, if you really believe this stuff so much, and if you want to come over to people's houses and put your arms around them, and you're beseeching them, and you're crying over them that they better do it, then we challenge you to an open debate. Debate us. Prove it. Prove it from the Word
Amen.
Of God that this teaching is true. Prove it.
Amen.
But you won't.
I'd love
you
to
won't.
Have her or any of the. I'd love to have her or any of the tithes and first fruit preachers to call in and debate with us.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I would love that, too. I would love that, too. I would love to have an open debate with these people. If you really believe something, then you're open. You'll be open to debating it. I'll debate anybody anytime on the Seed Faith teaching. I know what the Bible says about that whole thing. So I'll debate anybody. I don't care who it is, because
Amen.
I know I'm going to win, because I know what the Word of God says. We don't sell money to get money. We don't give to get. And that whole thing, forget that whole thing. That's passé. That's false Christianity. It's not even real Christianity. It's not even the way we're supposed to behave. We're supposed to give out of a heart of love, and that's our motive only. And if God gives us something back, fine. If he doesn't, that's fine too. But that should never be our motive as Christians, because it breeds selfish children, and it has. But anyway, let's listen to another.
It's a brand new year. This I believe with all my heart, and you know I'm sowing my first fruit. You know I'm honored. I don't even like the word sowing. I'm honoring God with what belongs to him. I get to worship God with his first fruit. And my spirit tells me this year, and I've had some good years in my life. I've had some rough ones too, but I've had some good ones. And this year is going to be the best year. I want to pray for you right now. Father, I know that the enemy sends doubt and discouragement to make us think, is this really of you? The devil is a liar. I break off every demonic voice that would try to hold you back right now, and I release the power of the Holy Spirit to speak to you, for the Bible says, my sheep know my voice. And that when they hear my voice, they will follow it. This is not a gimmick. This is not some Jesus junk. This is the Word of God. And as you honor God with his first fruit, I pray the blessing of the Lord upon you and your household, according to Ezekiel chapter 44. God bless you. Remember, honor, and put God first.
still watching the Impact Network.
Yeah. Put God first. Don't forget, she's going to get her first fruits offering in, yes.
You notice all the verses that she's using or all the references that she uses for first fruits are all in the Old Testament.
Yeah, I know.
Not once has she used the New Testament verse to show that we are supposed to give first fruits.
Yeah, exactly.
Because the Old Testament was written for the ancient Israelites. It was not written for the New Testament church. Though we can learn from it. Now, I'm not saying throw your Old Testament out. Please don't get me wrong. We can learn from the Old Testament. All scripture is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. And certainly Paula White needs some correction and some instruction in righteousness.
Yes. Yeah, obviously. But, of course, like you said, there's nothing in the Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John during the earthly ministry of Jesus Christ, God himself, God in the flesh there, who when he ever mentioned this kind of thing to people, and if it was so important, as Paula says, that you must honor God and you have to give this money. Well, if she really believed too that it was so important to honor God with this money, she wouldn't be telling you to send it to her. She'd say, go over next door and buy your neighbor a dinner out someplace, or find somebody on the street begging and give them some money, find a homeless person and give them pay their rent for a month or something. She'd be telling you to do acts of charity instead of sending this honorable offering to her. For what? What's she going to do with it? But spend it on her so-called ministry. This is not a ministry. This is not a ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ at all. This is it.
Oh, no, not at all. You can see. Yeah, you can see, as I said earlier, it's her own kingdom. She's trying to build that up and get as much money into it as she can. Maybe she can't get that $22 million from the Christian Union, but she can get it through people that she's able to deceive.
Yeah, she can get it to people she's able to deceive, and she's very good at deception. But I noticed that lately over there, Paula White pastors this church, which is, some people they call it a mega church, but it's not a mega church because there's about 400 or 500 people I would say that go there. That's not a mega church. So whoever does reporting, they don't even report that she's a pastor of a church, and they call it a mega church, but it's not mega. And it's over there in Apopka, Florida, this little boondock town over there outside of Orlando. And Paula's saying she's in 2019, she's going to rock nations. She's going to change nations. And she can't even change Apopka. I mean, she's only got 400 or 500 people there. She was such a nation rocker. And they'd be flocking over there to that church. It would be thousands. There would be thousands of people lining up to get in there to hear this so-called prophet, apostle of God. But she's emptied out the place, and she took over the place over there. She might have had a few thousand when she took it over. It was kind of a hostile takeover there that she managed to weasel her way in. And she might have had 1,000 or couple thousand people, but she's been steadily emptying out the place, and they keep taking out chairs so it doesn't look so empty. But you're definitely not going to be rocking any nations if you can't rock your own hometown over there.
Exactly.
Don't be so full of yourself. I don't know anybody that's rocked any nations except Jesus. He's rocked a lot of nations, but human beings, I don't think so. The apostles, they did a pretty good job. I don't know. And anyway, we shouldn't be bragging about how we're going to be rocking all these nations and changing nations, and you're a world changer and a history maker and everything. for the most part, when we die, people might remember us a little bit. Yeah, they might remember us. They're going to remember the good things. They're going to remember the bad things, too. So.
Exactly. You know, here's Paul's attitude about rocking the nation. I think that would be his attitude. He said, I sowed the seed, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase.
Yeah.
The only person, yeah. The only person who can rock a nation is God. And all we can do as people called into the ministry is to sow the seed and to water the seed and allow God to do his work.
Yes, allow God to do his work. Because after all, we only read from his book. Like, what do we have to offer people in our flesh? We have nothing to offer them. We offer them the word of God, and he lets us do it as messed up as we are. At times, he does trust us. He's supposed to trust us anyway with his word that we're not going to handle it deceitfully and not use it for our own gain and to make a name for ourselves. Where you could have you could have a good name, but your name could be destroyed in a matter of moments. I wouldn't be trying to lift myself up over there. I wouldn't be trying that. Let's listen to one more audio here.
I'll tell you what I'll get to you. I want you to follow that Deuteronomy 16:16. Do not stand before the Lord empty-handed, but bring to him your first fruits.
God's holy principle of first fruits is all about honoring him by putting him first in everything. For 2019, Paula is prophetically declaring that deliverance and prosperity are yours. You will inherit your promised land. In the first month of 2019, let's stand on the prophetic word of Isaiah 1:19 that declares, if you are willing and obedient, you will eat the good things of the land. Honoring the Lord with your first fruits offering today will release financial miracles, opportunity, favor, and supernatural blessings for your entire year. Proverbs 3:9. Honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruits of all your increase, so your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow. Paula is challenging you to put first things first and honor God with a significant first fruits offering today. Many give one day's wages, others one week, still others a portion of their first month, but all give their very best. Call, write, or go online now. And with your best first fruits offering today, we will rush to you Paula's new two-message series on both CD and DVD, plus digital download titled He's Number One, God's Law of First Fruits. When you sow a sacrificial first fruits offering of $75 or more, we will send you the new series along with Paula's groundbreaking book, First Things First, and her powerful First Things First devotional. At the start of 2019, make him number one. It's the principle of first fruits. Call, write, or go online right now. Your first fruit seed is a declaration that 2019 will be the year of recovery and supernatural advancement for you.
I know you've written the P.O. box, or you picked up the phone and you called that toll-free number. I feel an excitement in my spirit for you that God's about to shift something because you're saying, Paul, I'm tired of the same old, same old. I want to live the promised life that God has for me. You know, Carlton and Cynthia from Florida wrote me, and so many people are writing into the web, and they're writing into the P.O. box, and they're calling in. And every time that you connect with Paul White Ministry, I take that so serious. I pray for you, all of my intercessors, our staff. We're praying, we're fasting, we stand on God's word. We believe God for your breakthrough. You're not just getting this breakthrough alone, but you've got a whole entire army here at Paula White Ministry that is standing in support with you, with your walk with God. And watch what Carlton and Cynthia write. Thank you for the excellent teaching on first fruits. Last year, I grossed over $104,000 on my job. I have never, ever made this kind of money on any job. Thank you, Pastor Paula. You know, I'm excited. Carlton and Cynthia, I can tell you from my own testimony that as I begin to get into the Word of God, I remember when this first became revelation to me. And I said, God, I've always been a tither. I've always been a giver. But I'm putting you first. I'm waking up earlier. I always pray, but my first thoughts belong to you. My first hours belong to you. My first income. And I would take, I initially took an entire month. I try to every year give a month's salary. Sometimes I give a week, 2 weeks, but I always give the best that I can. I give the first root, that whole entire paycheck to God. And I remember I wasn't saying, oh, God, give me back money. And I thank God for his financial blessing. But at the time, I had a son who was drug addicted, atheist. It was breaking my heart. I knew I raised him in the things of God. Today, that same son, when I got this revelation, he was a teenager. Today, he just turned 33. He's preaching the gospel. He's on fire. He is a powerhouse for God. So I know that by putting God first things first, seeking first the kingdom of God, all of these things were added. I am living my best life ever. I have the love of my life. I've shared with people before. I said, I've been married before, but I didn't have a husband. I have a husband, a houseband, the love of my life. My son is saved. I have two beautiful grandchildren. I'm financially blessed. It's not like I have like just all crazy stuff, but God has provided all my needs and some. What a good God. Because I've learned the principle of first fruits, which is living a devoted life. Now, this is what he says. Remember this. Because we looked at Exodus chapter 13. Let's go there. Because when all devoted things are the same as first fruit, they're the things that belong to God. Devotion is proof of God's presence being priority in your life. So we know that devoted things belong to God, but this is what he says in Exodus 13. The Lord said to Moses, consecrate to me every firstborn male, the first offspring of every womb among the Israelites, a covenant people, belongs to me, whether man or animal. Then Moses said to the...
Oh, you can be just like Paula.
You know, I was listening to that clip and I had to chuckle to myself, thinking about that. I was thinking Paula needs to fire that announcer that she's got. if you listen to the announcer and you listen to Paula, they're preaching two different things.
Yeah.
Paula says that the first fruit offering is a whole of something. In other words, if your first paycheck, your whole paycheck would be the first fruit offering, according to her. But see, the announcer said, send in your first fruit offering of $75 or more. Okay, well, what if I made $230 in a week? He's telling me to send in a first fruit offering of $75, not my whole paycheck. So
yeah.
He's contradicting her, and obviously she doesn't even catch that contradiction, which proves that she don't know what she's talking about either.
No, well, obviously she doesn't know what she's talking about because she's telling people, and she's throwing out the bait there too. That look, her son was she always remembered to sow her first fruits, and look what happened. Her son got saved, and then she met. She was married. I wonder what Randy White would think if he heard that, because I think she was married to Randy for like 17 years, maybe even more than that. And she says she didn't have a husband. I don't know what I don't know what Randy would think if he heard that. Now she's on her third husband. But you know, you can have all these things and see she's financially set What does the Bible says? The Bible here's some scripture now here. Envy not the oppressor, and choose none of his ways, for the forward is an abomination to the Lord, but his secret is with the righteous. The curse of the Lord is in the house of the wicked, but he blesseth the habitation of the just. Surely he scorneth the scorners, but he giveth grace unto the lowly. The wise shall inherit glory, but shame shall be the promotion of fools. And that's a word there from Proverbs chapter 3 from Miss Paula White.
Yeah, it's amazing because she sat there trying to make it look like her husband got saved because she gave a first fruit offering. Yet the Apostle Paul taught a different way to get saved. Paul said, call upon the name of the Lord. Paul said, if whosoever believeth in his heart, the Lord Jesus, or confesses with his mouth the Lord Jesus, and believes in his heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. But according to Paul, all you got to do is let your parent pay first fruit offerings.
Yeah. Yeah, it's pitiful. It's really pitiful. It really is. But there's been books written about it. There's a book called Paula White, First Fruits, She-Wolf. And I know it was written by a man, Dr. Elijah Coles, who has a few PhDs in divinity. And he actually wrote a trilogy, three books, rebuking Paula White about this foolish teaching. But I know that the one book, First Fruits Fleecer, I think it is available on Amazon. But there's been books written about it. Even the press called her out on it. Some of the bigger internet magazines and some of the bigger newspapers called her out on this scam, where she was called out about asking people to send her one month salary. Now she tells you that she gives 1 month. But the thing is, now here's the kicker, because they don't give, they give that money into their own ministry. And they say, we give all our money. We give our first fruits. She says, I gave my first fruits, but she gave it to herself basically, because she put it right back into her church. That's not an offering. That's not an offering when you give the money to yourself. And I even heard this man, Robert Morris, he's another, doesn't know what he's talking about in the area of giving. Well, he's got this big bestseller book. He claims that he sells sold 35 million books or whatever on the Blessed Life Now, which he teaches on tithing and those kind of things, where, wow, imagine 35 million people buying that book all over the world, and it's not even true. And he says, yes, we didn't take one penny of this money from our book, not one penny. We gave it to the church, and he's the pastor.
Exactly.
What? Don't brag about you gave all the money, all the millions away to the, that you put it back into your own church to spend it.
Right. Now, while the church has treasurers, and of course the pastor is not the treasurer, the treasurers take care of the checking account, the pastor can ask the treasurer for a check anytime, and they hand it to him. You know, so he can write it out for anything he wants.
Of course, it's ridiculous. If you're going to say we're giving all the money, the proceeds of our book, we're giving it to this missionary organization or to this Feed the Hungry program or to this, we're giving people water, digging wells or whatever. Yeah, that's a gift. But to put it back into your own treasury, I wouldn't be bragging about that either. It's ridiculous. These people are ridiculous. Don't tell me, how many hours did you spend? Oh, I spent so many hours teaching on this. And I like her. I've spent so many hours in the Word of God, and I came up with this teaching, and I'm going to teach it to you. Don't bother. Stop teaching it, please. Stop it.
Exactly.
Already. Go away.
Get
another job.
Jesus told us in Matthew 25 how we give to the Lord. He said, "You give it to give to those that are poor, those that are hungry, those that are thirsty, those that are naked, those that are in prison, those that are sick." That's how we give to the Lord. We minister unto them in their need. You know, people like Paula and them, they want you to give your first fruit or your tithes or this amount of money or that amount of money to them, and they'll see to it that part of that money goes to the poor. We can give directly to the poor. We don't have to go through Paula White or anybody else. And when we give directly to the poor, we're giving to God. Proverbs chapter 19, verse 17 says that when we have pity on the poor, we're lending to the Lord, and the Lord will repay us.
Yeah, that's what it says. So somebody standing in the middle. I don't need a middleman when I'm giving. I know how.
Exactly.
I can take my own checkbook and write a check to whoever I please.
Right.
I don't need
give
somebody else tell me. Yeah.
Don't give me your address. Give me the poor's address.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. I don't know. This woman lives in, I think her house is like 10,000 square feet, something like that, and bought a Lamborghini. Now, those cars cost over $200,000. So living large over there, and writing ridiculous books on first fruits. Please, tear it up. Tear it up. Don't bother. Don't waste your money. The only reason why you should ever read her book on first fruits is to take it and to dissect it so that you can refute it. Then I would recommend reading it, but I wouldn't recommend wasting my time to read this foolishness because it doesn't profit you anything. It keeps you in bondage.
What I did with Robert Morris's book, A Blessed Life, I bought that so that I could tear it apart. And I tore quite a lot of that apart. But, you know, here's one thing that Paula needs to take into consideration. Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 16 says, "He that oppresseth the poor to increase his riches, and he that giveth to the rich shall surely come to want." And you really think about that. When we give to people like Paula, we're just laying up money for our destruction. It says that, you know, or for our ruin, not necessarily destruction, but the Bible says that we will come to want if we're giving to people that are rich. And those that are rich that are taking money from us come to want too. So, you know, Paula may sit in her little mansion there in Ocala, Florida, but one day she's going to come to want.
Well, it already almost happened when they went through the bankruptcies. And the foreclosures.
Right, it did happen with the Without Walls fiasco, and it'll happen again because she didn't learn. She's building up another kingdom.
Yeah, exactly, and it's going to crumble too. That's it. You didn't learn the first time when God took it all away. And those churches don't even stand anymore. They were bulldozed, both of them. They're not even there. There's no trace of them. And that's exactly the way God wanted it. So it wouldn't have happened unless God wanted it that way. And
exactly.
You need to learn your lesson. You need to learn your lesson. God will provide. We don't have to beg people. We don't have to get on the radio and get on television and teach people a false gospel, another Jesus, just to run a so-called ministry. It's ridiculous. God will take care of your ministry. If God put you in the ministry, gave you any kind of a ministry, he'll take care of it. Otherwise, you don't belong in the ministry. You better find another job. If you have to wind up like this lady, forget it. It's not worth it.
I'm glad you brought up that another Jesus, because that's exactly what it is. If your Jesus requires you to give your first paycheck to him, or if he requires you to give 10% of all paychecks to him, that you're following a different Jesus than the Jesus of the Bible, because the Jesus of the Bible never required people to give him 10% of their paychecks or 10% of their wages. He never required first fruits of money. Now he did take donations in Luke chapter 8 from some women were giving of their substance, but the Bible does not say that they gave first fruits. It simply said that they honored him with their substance.
That's
right. Or they ministered to him with their substance.
That's right. So if Jesus didn't do it, then it's not so. If he didn't say it,
exactly,
then it's not so. And I don't care, Paula White, I don't care, Kenneth Copeland, Mike Murdoch, the rest of them, Benny Hinn, and the rest of them. I don't care what they say. If Jesus didn't say it, it's another gospel and it's another Jesus, and it's not the Jesus we serve. We cry out to God when we have a need. We cry out, we ask him to help us. Who's going to help us if God can't help us? And why do we have to lay down $5? Why do we have to lay down $5? Stop.
Exactly. And you look at the apostles, even the apostle Paul, in his pastoral epistles of the book of Titus and the first two epistles to Timothy, not, those were for the pastoral epistles that showed how the church was to be operated and everything. And not once did Paul tell Titus or Timothy they had to take up first fruit offerings or they had to teach first fruit offerings.
No, he didn't. He never mentioned it. No. So that's it. Be a good pastor if you're a pastor and love your people. Teach them right. Teach them the right way. Let's train up some good, strong Christians for these end times because we're going to need it. Look, there's a lot of funny things going around. A lot of people I know going through things that are very strange and going to get stranger in the days that we live in. So we have to be strong and we have to learn how to trust God no matter what comes our way. And
exactly.
if she's talking about building a good foundation, well, the good foundation is built on the rock and it's built on the word of God, the true word of God, not on a false gospel. What good is it going to do you if a storm comes to your life and you're running around with $5 in your hand or a week's salary running somewhere to try to figure out where to put it? That's not going to help you. And you're going to find that out
exactly.
pretty fast when you're heartbroken.
Well, Paul told Yeah, go ahead.
And your bills aren't paid, you'll find out pretty fast.
Exactly. Well, you know, Paul told the evangelist Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 2 through 4, he told him to preach the word. He didn't say preach opinion. He said preach the word, and he went on explaining that there will be a time that comes that people will not endure the word. They'll heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And certainly we're living in that day today. These teachers here are teaching a doctrine that is not sound. It doesn't line up with the Word of God. And we need to reject it. We need to stand on the Word of God. Those of us who are ministers of this gospel need to manifest the truth, as Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. And we need to manifest the truth and not handle the word of God deceitfully. Paula White and Robert Morris, we mentioned them today, and there are several others that need to repent of this doctrine that they're teaching of sowing monetary money into their ministry. Their ministry of first fruit offerings or whatever you want to call it. These things are not of God anywhere in the Bible, and they're not teaching the word. They need to repent of it, and they need to turn their eyes back toward God before God lays down his heavy hand of judgment on them.
That's it, because it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of an angry God. So, and God is a God of judgment, whether you like it or not, he is. And he does correct his children, just like your mother and father corrected you. So some of us need correction in different areas, and God sure has his ways of doing things. And
yeah, he does.
We're talking about people's lives here. We're talking about their families. And so it's a serious thing. And we want to make sure that we teach the word of God correctly and that these false teachers, and we want to point these things out to you so that you can get out of these cults. These are cults. That's what they are. These are like cults. And these people are like cult leaders and they lead people astray. And it's not right. But anyway, Ron, thank you so much for coming on today. Another great program. And we'll do another program soon in the future. We'll do one on Robert Morris. I'm ready to do another program about him.
That sounds like a plan.
Yeah,
I appreciate calling me on to the program.
Oh, yeah. I always enjoy having you on and appreciate you coming. Okay? God bless.
All right.
Bye-bye. Don't forget, you can check Ron out on Facebook. He's got a Facebook page. Ron Roby, R-O-B-E-Y, and also he's got several books out on tithing, on the truth about tithing. Anyway, I think their books are on Amazon, but you could go there or just do a search, on Google for Ron Roby and his books on tithing, and he does go back and forth with people on Facebook. He's got a public page, and he will engage you in conversation. So check him out there. I'm always happy when he comes on. We always have an interesting program for you. So be blessed today. Have a great new year, everybody. And whatever you're going through today, remember there's one person that can help you and one person only. And that's the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, come unto me, all ye that are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Oh, and some of us need it, don't we? There's so many things going on, so many crazy things. And we just cling to our hope in the Lord Jesus Christ that he promised to deliver us from all evil. Whatever evil has come your way, Jesus promised that he would deliver us from all evil. And so we stand on his word today. And for some of you that are listening and you're not born again, Jesus said that you must be born again in the third chapter of John. He said, first you're born of your mother, and then you must be born again of the Spirit of God. Romans 10:10 says, confession is made with the mouth unto salvation. Confess your sins, and he is faithful and just to forgive you of your sins. God also said that he would forget your sins. And no matter what you've done, no matter what it is, God will forgive you, and he will give you a brand new life. A brand new life. You won't even be the same person that you were. You won't. You get a whole different personality and a whole new outlook on life. And you'll see the scales fall off. And you can see clearly. And you know the truth. And the truth makes you free. So give your life to Jesus today. You'll never regret it. I guarantee you that. Bye-bye.
I'm going to a city that's set on a hill. Its ruler and maker is the Lord God above. Oh, I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. Oh, I'm going to a city, it lies four square. The gates are made of jasper, and I'll see Jesus there. I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. I'm going to a city, it lies four square. The gates are made of jasper, and I'll see Jesus there. I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. And someday I'll be in heaven, there'll be no sorrow there.